This is Russ again. We are on the second part of the chapter called The Creation of the Chosen Ones from the internet course, The Black Awakening. We are on page 10, if you have the notes, and we just began to talk about bonding in the first part. So on the second MP3 or CD, as you bring it down, just call it The Chosen Ones Part 2. Bonding was point 4, in which, again, you're going to hear victims, if you're dealing with victims at all, if you ever deal with them, you're going to hear a number of times you're going to hear them talk about other bonding type rituals, being held underwater and then being, you know, grabbed up and saved by coven members or whatever. They constantly create this bonding because they want them to know that they are linked to them in an emotional level, soulical level, spiritual level, physical level. They're the only ones that feed them, help them, care for them, give them money, place them in jobs, whatever. They create absolutely total dependence, so that they can be, again, controlled. This is what's done in totalism in cults like the Moonies and the Way International and other places. But this is the apex of that kind of control, and it has a lot of bonding. And so you're going to find out that a lot of personalities on the inside of multiples may have an emotional connection. Their handlers, those who split them, they may see as daddy, or they might see as the one that cares about them, and or their creators. So bonding things are done, and again, if you're working with them, they can tell you story after story, or in the actual survivors, like in Unshackled by Kathleen Sullivan, she will give you some of that information there too. Or in some of the other survivor books, you'll read some of that material. Point 5, programming. This is a major thing because all chosen ones have in their sub-personalities, for example, they split, create raw personality. They immediately bond that personality to them. You know, we're the ones that care about you, we're your creators, etc. Programming can begin simply with just telling them. I mean, just like a father, when I have a, my daughter was born, and I love my daughter, and the incredible beauty of looking into her eyes when she's just a baby, and as she's growing, and she would watch my lips. I would just hold her right in front of me, and I would pronounce words, and I would try, and I'm not the greatest at it, but with my child, matter of fact, if you ever get to meet my daughter, she's so much better at English and so forth than I have ever been. But that's what we would do. I didn't talk baby talk to her. I just talked to her, and I would say words. I would even talk about theological terms and share theological words and Greek words, and I just talking to her. But I noticed that she began to move her lips and began to format and try to say the same things. Now, she said some of the little... Matter of fact, her first words, she saw there was a television commercial with these ducks quacking, and she said, quack, quack. And she eventually learned how to say daddy. Her mother taught her that, to say daddy, and she, again and again and again, my wife told her how to say daddy. You know why? In the middle of the night, when she would wake up and begin to cry, the word that she would say, daddy, and then it would be me coming to get her. Please understand the capacity of learning. Most of our learning and the foundations of our learning are done in the first 3 years of our life. All those motor skills and abilities to do so many things, language, begin to put sentences together, all that, word formations. Well, in programming, you have raw material. You literally have baby personality. And you begin to speak to it, and you begin to tell it, and you name it. You say, this is who you are. This is where you've come from. And again, on the Luciferian side, the programmer side, it's all scripted. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie also, but it's all scripted. And the scripting is, this is who you are, and you know, they might say you're going to be a priestess, or this, your name is such and such, or you're going to be that. You know, they might name them and then give the functions. And sometimes the function that they're going to give them is what their name is about. So when you talk about priestesses and runners and fighters and informers, on the inside of a chosen one, you're talking about personalities, sub-personalities who've been, the splitting and bonding occurred, and then they've been told, programming. They've been spoken to. And it goes beyond that, though. Not only have they been spoken to, They may have had loop, for example, a tape, you know, earphones put on, and they heard constantly an entire scenario of what they are and who they are. Some of them have told me how they remember having earphones on and hearing Nazi propaganda or Nazi songs. Loop, they call it loop training or loop feed. Now, the Dr. Cameron out of Canada that got in trouble and that did what was called psychic driving. He would he came up with the concept of depatterning a human personality, completely erasing human personality in an adult, and then repatterning the formation of a brand new personality. And that's part of what's happening in programming. They're putting in the pattern of what they are and who they are. They might be hearing the Luciferian doctrine and the agenda, and they might be hearing that punishment is a good thing and obedience, and everything that they want them to be is pumped in to the programming. Programming may also use drugs in the programming, in the sense of they're somewhat drugged, and again, programming is put into their head. Going further than that, screen memory, like in the film, and I hope you see the film Manchurian Candidate, when they're on an island and they've got doctors, and you'll see a connection between radical dark side Islam Muslims in the symbols on their faces and so forth. You're going to see a connection there in a shadow a governmental use of these Manchurian candidates. And you're going to see them, soldiers, going through screen memories, that their eyes are fixated. And I've had people, I've had multiples or chosen ones, draw me a picture of them sitting in a chair with these things over their head or these things over their eyes, and their head is kind of locked in, and they're having to just watch whatever's there, and their eyes are seeing something and over and over and over and over again. And it may be if they've got a personality that they just created and bonded, they may be showing them sex tapes and just constantly feeding that into that brain and mind of that new personality, and showing them and teaching them that it's all good and all that kind of stuff, and or pedophilia or whatever it may be. It may be a personality that's going to be an assassin, and they're showing constantly films of assassination and shooting. It may be fighters, and on and on and on. When it comes to languages, personalities may be forward, and they just constantly hearing a language being used, whether it's German, Russian, whether it's like the ones that we've dealt with, Spanish or Punjabi. They've also learned old Pictish languages, Oguam and others. So the programming can be from a number of different types, so that if you're dealing with an individual and a sub-personality comes forward and begins to talk to you, and they're like angry, and like, this is all they know, and all we know is this, to serve the master, and to be Luciferian, and their system is right and your system is wrong, and on and on and on, you're finding that they've been programmed. So I always ask them a question to help break the programming, let alone praying that the Spirit of God will soften it or snap it. But part of this deals with human will. They have a human will that has been programmed. And so I begin to ask them questions, because I already know God created the will to be pliable. To be pliable. It has ingrained in the will has been ingrained with the ability to choose. It's not, there's no such thing as will without the ability to choose. Now, in the programming from the Luciferian side, it's all about solidifying a program and then never allowing them to choose or have any kind of freedom. So when we engage them, I'm asking them, well, who told you that? Where did you get the information? Think back to when you were first created. You can make a choice. You can make a choice. You made a choice to come out and talk to me. So there's a lot of things I'm doing in the to interact with them, to show them, and their mind begins to realize they can make choices. They can perceive. They can now begin to remember what happened to them and what was done to them. They can now look at other material and begin to make a judgment. It's almost as though conscience comes back. But see, they've also, and I will get to seclusion in a moment, but they've also been kept away from everything else. That's why the sub-personalities have been programmed, trained, and put down on the inside. And so they would not interact with anybody else. They wouldn't read a Bible. They wouldn't listen to the news. They wouldn't be outside interacting with anybody. That they would be completely programmed, and just that script would be in their heads, in their minds, and so forth. So programming is a major part. In the course, Freedom Encounters, I go over the issue of the healing or the breaking through of the programming with some of them. And programming can be very strong, adamantly strong. I've had one personality one time that, well, I had told you the federal officer's wife. When Iris came forward and tried to stab me, it was basically since she was programmed or told. And that's all she knew, that when she came forward, she had to complete her mission. In other cases, the same thing. One time, a law enforcement agent that was a multiple, a personality named Fane, they came forward and they were supposed to shoot me, but they already kind of broke their own programming because they've been out enough, they've been listening enough, and they saw that I was kind to the person and it was helpful, and that I was different than their creators. I tell the multiples many times when I'm talking to personalities, I said, look at me. Look at those of us around here. We're not like the people that created you. You have the ability to scrutinize. You have heightened abilities as a survivor to scrutinize. Take a look at us. See how we are totally different. And that's the only way, you know, sometimes they begin to think. When they begin to think, instead of just being locked into the rut of, you know, do this, you know, all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't know if I have to do this any longer. Maybe I don't have to do this. Well, let me choose this. Let me choose that. And pretty soon, this is what God does with the Word of God. The Spirit of God comes to free our will and to, obviously, there's a kind of a code in the sin nature. Sin against God, rebel against God, sin against God, rebel against God. And the Word of God comes and is a different code that says no. And to break that and to heighten the will to give us the ability to choose back. To choose God. Now, he initiates that. Without him, there is no freedom of will to choose back, to come back to God. But by the Word of God, faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the Word of Christ. By hearing the gospel, the message. So, well, you'd have to take that course to really get into the healing side. It's not our intent to do that here. Let's go to point six. That when you're beginning to create, again, the handlers, programmers, and so forth, they're creating 1, 2, 3, 4, 15, 30 different personalities. Say they're already at a certain age, and they got 30 personalities who have been created as sub-personalities. They've been bonded to them. Each one has been programmed and scripted for whatever their job is to be, which we'll talk about later in the session. Well, then they are taken out from time to time to be trained. And gosh, I liken this sometimes to the idea of dogs that are taken out of cages and they're trained to do tricks and then they're put back in their cage. And they haven't liked this, many of the personalities. When I share this, it's kind of hard for them to conceive. And then all of a sudden they see it. They see that they've been used like monkeys in a cage, that they have been brought out, trained to do all kinds of little tricks, and then put back into their cage and buried back down and not allowed to do anything until they're called for again. And they're being used. And I begin to show them that. Well, they first say, well, that's all we know. That's why we're here. No, it's not. It's what they've said. There is an imposition of somebody else's will. That's what programming is. A script thrust into personality from someone else. Totally from someone else. It's not like raising a child where you're teaching it to learn and share and so forth and shaping and guiding and directing. You're not mind controlling, you're guiding. And good parents will do that and guide in a very good way. But in programming, it's totally different. It's being just thrust into them, scripted in. Then along the way, they're taken out of their little cage areas inside, and they're trained. Say, for example, they've been programmed to shoot a gun. And so they're taken out when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And they're learning how to use weapons to tear them down, different weapons, to become proficient, to become sharpshooters. You would not believe how many chosen ones have personalities that are extremely proficient in warfare, in guns, in explosives, because they've been taken out again and again and trained on the field and then put back down for future use. So training goes on. Same thing with sex slave personalities and other personalities on the inside, where they're brought out to talk to the handlers and they're told, do it this way, do this way, do that way, etc., etc., etc. Training is very grueling and painful and terrible and horrific. Sexual training, even demonic, you know, where they're trained to conjure demons. They're trained to speak in an old language and call upon spirits and allow them to come into their being. Or to learn how to do warfare to ward off Christians and to keep them blinded from finding out the truth about them. Well, the next point is seclusion. All chosen ones and victims of SRA, MPD, DID, MC, all of that, all of them have been secluded from the public. I mean, they might have the upfront person, Johnny or Susie, going to school, going to an old, old mainline church where there is no real spiritual activity as a front. So there's a front. The front host personality, though, is amnesic to everything that's on the inside. They may be completely blank. So when you deal with a number of victims, you may find out that they don't remember their childhood. But someone else inside does, because they were there. There's other personalities on the inside. There's even what are called home-created personalities. In other words, in the process of causing torture, pain, all the rest of it, the person themselves may split off on the inside, and it's kind of a defense mechanism to save them. And a personality splits off that handlers, programmers, don't have a hold of. And they don't like that. They'll create a personality and program a personality to be a guardian or a watcher on the inside or someone to take care of all these little personalities that popped up from the person's own will through the pain and to keep them from coming out. So a lot of times when you see victims going to a counselor's office or whatever else, it's those little personalities that first begin to come and say, hey, this is who I am and this is where we've come from and all kinds of stuff's been done and I know who's on the inside and I know there's these dark presences and I know that there's this and that and I know who some of the handlers are, and but then they're supposed to be shut up and kept shut down. Well, the whole of the inside structure is to be completely secret. Secret, don't tell. You're going to be killed if you tell the information. Your parents will be killed if you tell. They might even have been shown torture films that if you ever tell, this is what will be done to you. They may have seen handlers or programmers rip apart, you know, a rabbit or a cat in bloody mess. I mean, you'll hear all kinds of stories, but it's all part of the programming. You will never tell. If you ever tell, we will shred you to pieces. We will destroy your real family, or you know, whatever it may be. But the seclusion they're not going to allow them to go with anybody. They're going to keep them away. They're going to go on trips during the summer to a farm, to an area for the training and all the rest. They're going to be taken at 3 o'clock in the morning or 12 at midnight to ritual spots and for sexual uses and things like that. They are not, they may have been given to parents, but they may have had a parent that is like a Laban's born child that is to raise the new generation. Maybe only one parent is directly involved. The other parent knows and is also living under secrecy and fear and seclusion. But you're going to find a lot of seclusion in this, that they have to keep them hidden and sometimes even moving. And many of them have made it through grade school and things like that with nobody knowing anything. But on the inside, they had 10, 15 other personalities, some of them in deep pain, some of them that are trained, that only come out, though, when triggered. Point 8 on page 10, demonization, conjure or transfer. Demonization continues all the way through, again, for the transmutation demonically, to turn them into an empowered program that if they're a priestess or a runner, a fighter, or informed, whatever their programming is, the demonization is to empower the programming. And please understand, if you're a Christian, God's given us a great mission to help win the world to share Christ. Then He's also given us the power. God has given us something, but you know, we can choose and not choose. I mean, He has given us the mission of God. And we've taken up the cross to follow Christ. And that's the invitation of God. And God has given us His will to follow. And He's promised the power of the Spirit of God to fulfill that. So listen, we should understand. Now, when I know that God has filled me and clothed me with the Holy Spirit, it's me. I'm not taken over, per se. I'm empowered. I've been given supernatural empowerment and ability from the inside out and upon me, even in charismatic giftings where God might give a word of knowledge or whatever else. Excuse me. We should clearly understand this as Christians. Then look at the other side in the counterfeit. They may get counterfeit giftings and workings. Now, it can come from a group or individual that conjures spirits through ritual format that they've been trained. They can only do it by being trained. But the demons on the inside can also train personalities. Tell them how to do it. No differently than just being there and whispering. Many of the demonized people, they'll clearly tell you the demons talk to them. And demons can tell them how to conjure, what to say, what to do, teach them even a demonized, a counterfeit tongues, languages, to call on demons, to give them the name of demons, to show them by the inspiration of the demon how to draw a circle and what kind of ritual to do, how to write it down to do it again a second time. It may involve transfer into where a high priest may have hundreds of demons in him, and through some form of ritual format, he releases one or two demons in transference through the sexual act, through the mouth, through a blood connection, transfer spirits into the other person. And so demonization continues to shape them, to empower them, to create a heightened human being. Point nine, they're constantly all along from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 into their teens. Even later, if they're still intact and not coming out into their 20s, they're constantly being built. They're building them. They're training them. Handlers come back that have learned new things, and they come back to train them again and test, and then they test them. They test their abilities. Maybe they have a personality inside that has psychic abilities. You'll even hear them tell stories of how at little camps and group meetings where their sub-personalities are called up and they're to have like a little battle, even as 8 and 9-year-olds to kind of battle each other. And they're giving games to play with and they're to learn how to leave their body and astral project and all kinds of abilities to try to read minds. And do everything else. In an older book called Psychic Warfare, Fact or Fiction by John White, it's entitled An Investigation into the Use of the Mind as a Military Weapon. And all you got to do is read some of this concerning it's the new and horrifying dimension to the Cold War is emerging, involving secret Soviet development of psychic techniques and psychotronic technology applied for the purposes that imply mass enslavement of minds as well as bodies. It is a dimension that whispers of occult intrigue and mind machine armaments as fearful as they are awesome. ESP espionage, psychic sabotage, hyperspace, on and on and on, the ability to initiate nuclear explosions, transmitters, psychotronic barrier modulators, and on and on and on. And you know what? This book is written, when is this book written? Back in the 80s? The research is from when? The 60s? Into the 50s and the 60s? Remember the 60s, the big explosion of psychic powers and all the Eastern, you know, religions and all the powers and all the stuff? Well, all the military applications for this, billions of dollars at Fort Bragg, psychic warfare unit, PSYOPs, Colonel Shannon, do some studies. Stargate and the remote viewers. You know, they're only bringing out, when I've studied all the remote viewers and read, you know, McMonigle and Ed Dames and many others, and talked with David Morehouse, the psychic warrior, and all the others. Please understand, you're only hearing part of the story. You can read some of the materials and begin to see that it was used for numerous things, including mind reading and so forth. So a lot of these chosen ones have personalities inside that have been trained to remote view, to astral project, to do warfare that way, to affect others' minds, to have abilities as a soldier to perceive, to have an awareness, a psychic awareness of enemy approaching them, to be able to see, like a negative of film, to see the enemy around approaching, to release powers, to confuse other people's minds, to create headaches, all kinds of things. And again, we could take another 3 hours on this subject alone, but we're getting an overview here for you to continue to look at this. But they have abilities. Chosen ones have a lot of abilities. And if you begin to deal with one, you might all of a sudden realize that you're getting headaches and fatigued and things are happening and weird things and you're getting dreams and all kinds of... Well, they may, the inside personalities who are co-conscious, you might be talking to the outside front person while you're at work. But on the inside, personalities that they're not aware of are looking at you. There's two or three that are listening to you and observing you. And if they need to release some powers or something against you to keep you away from that person. If they perceive you as enemies specifically. Well, that goes on again and again and again and again and again. That's why you're going to see the next generation of chosen ones, those that are in their teens right now, they're going to be far more powerful and hard to deal with than those who are in their late 40s. Point 10, many subpersons and demons and layers. Well, again, as we mentioned, they don't create just one other personality. Like in the concept of the Manchurian Candidate, where the concept is to create an alter personality, and that alter personality is a soldier or an assassin or whatever else, and it's got all of its trainings and whatever else. It's given the cues and then put down. The regular person is just living their job. Maybe they get a job in the State Department or a job in an ambassador's office over in Russia or another land. And the idea is that the handler can trigger the alter personality to go out and assassinate or kill or recon information or be a spy, a mole. Very good. This is a very good technology to create moles to infiltrate. And they've used them to infiltrate every kind of area of life. Law enforcement, the feds, military, government, churches, and so forth. And they have highly trained individuals on the inside with top-notch abilities in the area of surveillance and everything else. But remember that there's always more than one personality in a chosen one. And you may deal with 15 personalities, but they may be on the third floor. And you didn't realize there's a second floor, that after you've gone through all those personalities, you find a gatekeeper or someone who knows of the next floor down, where there's another 15 that are either backups to the first 15, or they're more coven or cult or militaristically related that you can't get to because they've been layered. And there's a lot of sophistication in also keeping people like me away from getting to them and helping them, or specifically finding out information. They hate the information because why? The supernatural, satanic, secret power of lawlessness. I cannot say that enough, that there is a power, a dunamis, the working, the Greek word refers to a supernatural operative power, but it's super secrecy. And so, in all the multiples coming out in the psych wards, whatever else, it's only the 10% upper layer of home-created and hurting personalities that are coming out. And the difficulty is, people like here in the Akron area, where Dr. Moshe Torum and others, what do? They just say, oh, well, you can't believe their stories. And when these personalities come up, they're just fantasies. And, one other doctor here locally did a conference, a psychiatrist, saying, well, don't talk to the personalities because you, by talking to them, you empower them to remain. If you don't talk to them, they'll fade away. Well, that's a bunch of hooey, if I can say it that way. They never go away. They just might go down. You know, some personalities, they just look at outside doctors and people, and they don't want to talk to them. And they don't want to come out. You know, one individual I was dealing with, I've already talked to three or four of his personalities, and he's going to a counselor and getting drugs and being termed, diagnosed as a bipolar. And I said, finally, to the inside personality I was talking to, I said, why don't you come out and talk to the doctor and tell him you're here? He says, he was just like really down on the doctor and he didn't want to talk with him. So there's many sub-personalities inside, which means then again, like a tree. If you think in terms of a tree, I just was upstairs in my house here not too long ago, looking out, it's a beautiful day of 70 degrees, and we have trees all over the place, and I've never seen a black oriole bird live before. I've seen all kinds around here. We have blue jays and even some red cardinals, and this beautiful blackbird. Now in this tree, many of the limbs had no birds on it, but a number of the limbs, because a lot of birds came by, a lot of the limbs had, you know, there might have been 15 different birds in this great big tree, but they only covered some of the limbs. Well, that's how it's going to be in the inside internal system. Many of the personalities will not have demons on them. The personalities that have the demons on them are the more highly trained, highly loyal, highly committed, highly programmed, lower personalities that will allow the non-demonized personalities to come forward for the goal of you as a Christian not detecting spiritually that there is demonization. So you might be dealing with a personality named Sally that's just a young 9-year-old that only knows that they've been sexually abused and that is not demonized, and you don't feel anything demonic. And if you're so part of the technology is to hide the demons down below. Because when it comes to someone who is really a believer and knows the authority of Christ and has spiritual discernment, now that's why in the process, in the Healing Freedom Encounters course we teach, to discern and look for the demons in other personalities or look for the ruling demon that's over the entire system. And that's another, again, 3-hour session that you might want to learn more and more. You can get a hold of the course Freedom Encounters for that. Or you've read many other books. Maybe you know even more. I don't know. Point 11, that all personalities get buried. They're put down in boxes, cages, caves, wherever. Whatever is mentally spoken to them, where they're going to be. They're going to be placed here. They're going to be behind a wall. They're going to be in a cave. They're going to go down the stairs of a basement, and they're going to be down in the basement. And they're commanded basically to stay there, given the triggers, and they will not come out unless the handler repeats the phrase that causes them to spring forward. Now, some of those personalities that have been trained, programmed, built and tested along the way, that are very, very powerful, maybe they got many demons, when they're put down deep inside, they're commanded to go down and be basically asleep. And the demons will then just rest there in them and on them, and a code. And so there may be sleepers, and that's where you get to this issue of assassins and sleepers who unite with their different abilities and the different demons coming together to, when they're all of a sudden triggered in the Black Awakening, they switch, and this incredible super soldier with high programming, with the ability for weapons and killing and the smell of blood and cold as ice satanically is up. And all they know to do is fulfill their programming. They're demonized with an empowerment on top of that programming. See the counterfeit? The counterfeit is that Satan has to transmute the mind and heart with programming and then demonize to empower the programming to fulfill the mission. As a Christian, I receive freely the will of God, the word of God. I commit my way. It's even said of Jesus in the book of Hebrews, that he's come to do thy will, O God. Not my will, but your will be done. That's a choice. That's a cognitive full understanding. I fully understand my choice to stand up and follow Christ. And God's promised the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon us as we do His will, as we choose His will. And it is a transformation. There is not bondage. There is not abnormality. The Spirit of God's presence is a joy and a tremendous uplift. Going out filled with the Spirit of God to win souls and share Christ and be guided and supernaturally, literally supernaturally enhanced is what Christians are also by the power of God the Holy Spirit, without mind-controlled programming, etc., etc., that these chosen ones have and sleepers have. So many of them are buried down below, and sleepers are way down in there. We have been through the process of freedom encounters with some of them, and the Spirit of God has helped us to find sleepers. And first we would deal with the demonization, the demons on the sleepers. I remember this one case where there was a sleeper that when we called up the demon, we commanded it to say its name. How many other demons were there? There were 10. This demon's name was Hector, after a demon god. And we commanded also and got the information of what the trigger was. Well, after we dismantled or commanded the demons to leave, to pull out of that part of personality and leave, then we spoke the trigger phrase, and that personality came forward. Now, they had programming that they were supposed to go back to the father, a handler, at a specific age. That when they reached a specific age, they were supposed to go back, and that programming was there with a demonization empowerment that when triggered or if called in, they would just simply get up and go. They would have to. Well, that's how it works. There have been some personalities that have been down for 10 years. There's times that I'm dealing with an individual chosen one, and I'm talking to a sub-personality, and the person's body is 48 years old. Now I'll look at them, and I'll say, well, how old are you? And they'll say, 16. They'll think it's still, you know, some of them think it's 1968, 1975. And so it's really amazing that some of these personalities have been used or not used for a long, long, long time and left down in. And when I tell them that and tell them that you've been left, they don't like that. They don't like they've been left by the people that were supposed to be their friends or their handlers or their creators. And that's part of the process of engaging them with the gospel and bringing them to healing, to an encounter with Christ. Point 12, assignments and placements. Every personality has an assignment. And again, they're put down into the system. And then there might be placement. In other words, a certain personality is told that they're going to, you know, get a job at such and such place, or they're going to go to such and such church and become a fake church member. And so there's placement, where the handlers who have the information on their laptops and in other materials, secretively encrypted and so forth, they place them according to where they're needed. They've already given assignments to some of the deep-level assassins of who they're going to shoot and kill when activation comes. They've been shown pictures and everything else. So a lot of them have been placed in areas and so forth. So they are given the assignments, and they are also placed by outside handlers. What's that tell you that we need to do? We need to pray for the exposure of outside handlers and programmers. We need to go, again, above the chosen one, the victims and so forth, and begin to go to the others and to those handlers, many of which were also older programmed person, you know, chosen ones that learned that they were trained eventually. Like in some of the older ones that I've met, they have personalities inside that know how to split a new young, you know, chosen one. They know how to program. They know how to do all of it. I've sat down for hours in conversation with splitters and programmers, sub-personalities in older chosen ones, them telling me exactly what they do and how they do and what it's like, and watching the expression on their face and all of what they say. Some of them are, it's like a satanic glee. To some of them, it's like talking to a cold-hearted Nazi scientist. 13, point 13, page 10. There's also call-in or retrieval triggers. In other words, when handlers need to get them to come in, they don't always have to go pick them up. They just need to call and leave a trigger on the phone or to say a phrase. A lot of phone calls occur like this. A handler will call, the person answers the phone, and they'll say a phrase. Well, the person answering then, there's a switch. They go down and the sub-personality is brought up. And so then the handler talks to the sub-personality for 20 minutes, tells them to go back down. Then the original person switches back. And they're on the phone saying, hello, 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 thinking that only 30 seconds went by when 20 minutes did. Now, I'll tell you an example of this. Again, the law enforcement agent we dealt with years ago, they kept getting a phone call in for a Troy to come into the hospital, a Troy to come in, to sign themselves in the psych ward, et cetera, where a Dr. Sangiamino worked, and where this, again, handler was there. And they kept calling, and I was there in the house listening to some of the calls that came in. One time I answered, and I told the lady that was calling, don't call anymore. There's nobody here by the name of Troy. I said, you're calling a police officer's house, and I gave the name. They said, well, all I know is what the doctor told me. This is what I'm saying. I said, no, you're wrong. And they kept asking, is Troy there, Troy there? And I said, no, because they were trying to trigger the personality inside this officer named Troy to get them to come in. Well, you know, we had to run an entire surveillance thing and back this person down and expose this person that was doing this. But Troy on the inside, there's times that when we would be there and not let them go, physically stop them from leaving when the call came in. One was using a telephone, and the tones was, Mary had a little lamb. You could do that with the telephone, with the tones. Some could be just other tones. It could be in the militaristic, the more sophisticated use, it could be a microburst. You might hear on the phone something that just sounds like this. Brrrt. But if you slow it down, it's actually a message in Chinese or a message in Spanish that has been speeded up. Think of the old albums. If you had an old album that ran on 33 or whatever, and you speeded it up to 78 or 45, and you speeded it up and how it sounds. Well, that's what we're talking about, where a message is, if the message is there, but the inside personality who's been geared, programmed to receive that microburst, they will understand it. They'll get it. Now, the person that answers their phone won't get it. It'll go right past them. They'll say, I don't know what that was. That was a noise. Or I heard this sound or that sound. Well, anyway, one time I contacted this officer who was a multiple. I said, what's going on? Is anybody around? Anything happening this weekend? No, everything's fine. Everything's going on. Everything's great. Nobody's bothered me. On and on and on. No, I'm going to stay home tonight. So I said, right in the middle of my conversation, I said, well, I want to talk to, and I named the name of a personality. And immediately they came forward. They said, oh, Russ, you know, so-and-so was here, and the colonel was here, and the guy was here in the black uniform and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I talked to them for, 10, 15 minutes. Then I said, I'll say the person's name, Jody. Then I said, Jody? And then Jody answered again. And I says, well, Jody, is nothing happening? Nope. Nobody's bothering you? Nope. Nothing's going on. I said, Jody, look at the clock. I said, I just talked to one of your personalities for the last 15 minutes. And we had to go over and have our staff members guard the house that night so she wouldn't be retrieved, called out. That's all they need to do. So a handler might even sell codes to another person. Say, just call this person, or, call them and say this phrase. And when this personality comes forward and talks to you, tell them to come to your office. And this is a sex slave, and you can have sex with her. So they get called in to come to training, called in to come to the handlers, called in to come sometimes to get shots. Some that we dealt with that came from military science would get shots in the back of the neck. Now, I can't verify this for you. We've taken him to a specific doctor for x-rays, but they also talked about implants, tracking devices, Cheyenne Mountain and so forth, NORAD. And that's obviously on the market today. The size smaller than a piece of grain of rice now that can be injected and they can be tracked. Dogs are being tracked that way, GPS tracking. Well, that's, again, another part of this whole picture. Well, then there's the issue of compliance and punishment. And you're going to find this with a lot of them, that they're afraid to talk, they're afraid to say anything. They have to be compliant, they have to do what they're going to do. They don't want to get punished, they don't want to get hurt. If you've worked with any of multiples at all, you'll realize that in dealing with someone, they'll come back and maybe a personality you used to talk to is not there any longer, and they say, oh, Joe's gone. They did something to Joe. They killed Joe off. No, they didn't. They called Joe up, punished Joe, and buried Joe down below and gave a new trigger and won't let him come up. we have found by the leading of the Spirit of God to find someone like Joe again, to free them from the demonic stuff put on them, to bring them up again, and through the freedom encounter to have them engage Jesus, to be able to go with him and be freed. We've found out that a lot of the handlers and others don't like that. We remember two different occasions where different ones were brought back to us, both of them out of the military. One worked with law enforcement. And they said that they were taken to such and such a base, and they were interrogated. And they were interrogated asking if we were using equipment and technology and whatever else to find out the inside information, because the handlers were bugged that we were able to get down to very hidden personalities down below. Punishment sometimes is they can give them some level of sickness through a scratch, cause some kind of problem like that. They can take a personality up and use a stun gun, hurt them. They don't want to leave marks on the body usually. They may have internal punishing parts, a personality on the inside that will punish the body if they're not compliant with the Luciferian agenda. And that occurs. And again, that has to be handled and dealt with when it comes to healing and deliverance. Point 15, I want to talk about functions for a few moments. Functions. Inside of all the chosen ones out there, you're going to find, and I'm going to I won't even list even a third or fourth of the personalities. Bottom line, and most of them, you're going to find priestesses. Personalities inside that are highly, highly arrogant in the sense that they don't even need to be talking to you. You are nothing but a peon. That don't they realize that they are a high up priestess, goddess, empowered? You know, they got high rank. And they're able to lead in a ritual. They're able to do things in a ritual. They love cutting. They love blood. They love pain. They know ancient languages. They know how to call on spirits. They know the demons that are within them, and so on and so on. And they will. They're there. The personalities that speak other languages. In some of them, up to 5 and 6 separate, like this personality speaks German, that personality speaks Spanish, that personality speaks Punjabi, personality speaks Russian, another personality speaks Chinese. It's amazing that even in one individual, they can have 4 or 5 personalities speak other languages fluently. They can write them, and then also have the old languages of Beltashari, Oguam, old occultic languages that they're proficient in, also for ritual use. Many of them have the ability to, they're able to do encryption and code. They're very proficient in encryption and codes. You have some, in all of them, you have runners. In other words, personalities inside that all they know they're supposed to do is run back to the safe house, a handler's house or a location, or they're supposed to run and get away from people like me or you and get to a phone and call the handler to come and get them. So, like, for example, if you're dealing with somebody, well, this has happened in offices, this has happened going down the street in a car, talking with a multiple, and all of a sudden getting to a certain amount of information, they're triggered. The runner pops up, looks at, and opens the car door and literally just jumps out. And we've had that happen. We've had them run out of the office. We've had numerous. We've also had a setup where there's like a runner and we were supposed to run after them. The coven was, you know, right down around the corner waiting for us to come chasing after. So they have runners that will. And let me tell you something. I've seen these runners outrun any and all of our staff every time. Every time. They have fighters, those inside that are trained in martial arts. And this is true of all the women that are chosen ones. Inside, you have male personalities that have been trained and highly proficient. So the outside woman may seem very incapable and weak and whatever, but if they switch, in an instant, they can switch to a personality who is extremely aware and energetic, and we had one of our fellow pastors one time dealing with one of the ladies switch to the personality that knew martial arts, did a full blown roundhouse and came and back and literally clocked him on the side of the face with a roundhouse kick. So they're trained as fighters. they will have inside informers, personalities that will just simply, that if you or I talk to them, when the person goes home or whatever, they'll switch to the informer, call the handler or coven people and say, hey, Jody was out talking to these people today, here's what she said, and they're going to meet them later. So you got to realize something. If you're dealing with a multiple, and whatever you speak, the co-conscious informer and reconnaissance personalities, they're going to take in everything you're saying. We learned this, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, especially dealing with the federal officer's wife. We'd be talking in the beginning. She was so pitiful and needed help and whatever. And in the very beginning, we didn't know that all these other personalities, hundreds of them on the inside, but ones that were extremely proficient in surveillance, reconnaissance. I mean, we found out later through trial and failure, but when we were set up numerous times, when information was taken from our houses back to covens and handlers to do rituals against us. So sometimes they're there when they feel no threat, they're there to get reconnaissance. Well, they might be sent to you as a counselor, a pastor, to act one way. Oh, I need your help. I need this. I went through this. And while you're listening with all your compassion to the person who has the problem, inside cult loyal personalities are looking out, some getting reconnaissance from who you are and everything about you and your family and all that. The others might be, leave demonized objects in your office or release demons against you to confuse you and make you sick or whatever. All kinds of things. They also have inside warriors, people that are, again, proficient in weapons. They know they just know they're soldiers. They, you know, with a number of them, they showed me their uniforms. They've given me a piece of their uniform before. I've got a few things from a number of these folks. Let's go to page 11. They also have conjurers, people on the inside. A lot of times the priestesses know how to do this. Others know how to do this, to conjure demons. For example, if you're a Christian and you do deliverance and you cast out, you know, a number of demons and it seems like pretty much they're free, but they got personalities on the inside that know how to conjure and draw spirits. Okay, say you got them free and you think, well, pretty much they're free. They got four or five other personalities yet that needs healing on the inside, but at least they're free of the demons. Then they come back next week and they got demons all over them again. You know why? Because they have inside. You can get the demons, get rid of them at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, they go home. It's 7 o'clock that night or 11 o'clock. The conjurer or the priestess or whoever comes out and sets up a little ritual, conjures demons and calls them back in and re-demonizes personalities and the body through their conjuring. That will happen again and again. So you got to find the conjurer and deal there. Again, we deal with this more in the Freedom Encounter course on the answers to this. Here we're just dealing with the information. They have personalities inside that are they're techs. They know how to use computers. They are extremely proficient in computers and in technology. And we have ones that we've dealt with that worked on nuclear bases with missiles. We have another one that worked in labs, government labs. One that worked in the Pentagon down below, and so they have a lot of technological ability in some of the personalities. You might have. I was one again sitting in the police department years ago and talking with, let's just say again, the name Jody. It's not a real name, but I don't want to give a real name. Say Jody was typing, like, you know, with one finger, you know, like just pecking at the computer real slow and pretty much just a very basic level of computer literacy. When Jody would switch to a personality named Diamond or another personality, they all of a sudden could type and use that computer like a wizard. And they would, I'd be sitting on the side of the desk and they would type a bunch of stuff in and turn the screen towards me and say, look at this. And they'd show me something. And then they'd take it back and type something else. One time they turned it around and it said, now U.S. military is now monitoring your computer and your she had codes that got to places that nobody on the internet can get to. Codes, which seem to be military codes to get into certain sites. As I mentioned already, there's recon, personalities that just are there to recon, to get information. to show up and ask questions and everything else. If you've got somebody who's just, and again, here's what a recon person could do. You're talking to Jody, and Jody is amnesic. She's unaware of the other personalities inside. But Jody, from the inside, a reconnaissance personality sends up the thought into Jody's consciousness. Ask about his house and where he lives. Ask about where he went to, you know, and so the thoughts are coming to Jody's head, and you might have a person, I don't know why I'm asking all these questions. It's just really, I'm just filled with all these questions. And they're asking questions, and when you answer them, the reconnaissance person is with their photographic or their programmed ability, taking it all in and either immediately writing it down later or just verbatim later sharing the information about you. They're recons. There are personalities inside that know nothing. They know nothing other than just sex, and they love it, and that's all they want to do. That's just sex, 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 sex. And if that personality comes up, many times they're demonized personalities too. I'll tell you one episode, two pastors, a pastor and myself were sitting with one person, and all of a sudden presence came up, and I could tell that it was personality, but it was demonized personality. And I immediately wrote down as I was doing my mapping, you know, writing the word lust, spirit of lust. And I noticed the other pastor wrote something down. And all of a sudden, this person I spoke and said, "Hi, I'm lust, and I can offer you anything." It's like, "Oh, can offer me anything." And all of a sudden, I felt, literally felt this wave of just an ungodly, dirty, draw. Like they were trying to tempt me, and it immediately bugged me. So I immediately went into deliverance prayers and commanded the demon to come all the way forward, as did the other pastor, and we broke that demonic presence and commanded it to leave, and it did. And when I told him, I said, "What'd you write down on your page?" He had just a letter L. He said that there was a spirit of lust, and that's this personality is to cause people and to draw people and seduce people, and I could see how it works. So you can see how sex slaves, programmed, chosen ones that have sex slaves being placed in the White House or placed in, you know, to compromise politicians, to be taken to the Bohemian Grove, to be used, to send into a pastor's office, to get the person, you know, the upfront personality to cry and talk about their problems, a demonized personality begin to do warfare against the pastor to confuse him, and then eventually the sexy, like in the book Secret Weapons, one of the personalities in one of the Hersha girls was named Sexy Sadie. And so this sexy personality, sex-oriented slave comes out and begins to draw a person into a relationship. And that's how they're used to compromise pastors and Christians. That's what they'd love to do. That's how they're used to compromise politicians. And usually then they would try to get some kind of taping or whatever else. You got to realize how sophisticated this is in the world of power, politics, economics, to blackmail billionaires, because again they need the funds. They can have also inside of them fake demons. What do I mean by that? Well, personalities that act like demons, but they're not. Now, the only way you can tell that is if you begin to deal with them. Personalities will not respond to the authority that's used against demons. So there's been times where fake demons come up and they will personality to act like a demon. "Oh, I'm a demon, I'm a," you know, and "I'm never going to leave," and make certain groups, and this has happened, we've seen it, where they made people spend hours and hours, "I'm never coming out, okay," and they just play games. I remember one time being invited to this house. As soon as I walked in, the bedroom where this multiple's laying down, these people walked in, we walked in, and they sat forward, and all of a sudden, "I'm a demon, and I'm going to get you, and I'm going to do this, and my name is Tiger," and I immediately felt, and I looked at them, I said, "No, you're not." And they said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "No, you're not, and you're not a demon. How do you know?" I said, "Okay, we'll do something supernatural." I said, "You're a personality." Then their shoulders slumped down, and said, "Yeah, I know. I've been trained to do this against Christians." Pretty fancy, huh? Some personalities are trained to be Christian-oriented. They're trained to be able to say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord," meaning praise Satan, though. When they're in the congregation raising their hands or doing stuff, they're trained to do a lot of Christian things. They could be altar servers. They could be all kinds of people in the church. We had one guy that was very sophisticated, Dan, and he became a pastor. He was going around churches speaking in conferences and things like that. We had 8 of his sexual victims. There's now an estimation of 200 of his victims where he created personalities primarily for sexual use. He was a real bad pervert. He was just a real bad person all the way around as far as a chosen one, a multiple being used and wanting to be used and wanting to do what he's doing. But he had Christian personalities in the sense that they could do all the talk and do all the stuff, but they didn't have the power of God. And the rest of them, if that Christian personality would go down or that Christian, you know, they only knew so much. They could, and that's part of how they infiltrate churches, is to have a part of them that can do certain things and act certain ways. Then there's assassins, ultimately for the Black Awakening on the inside. And let me just say this, many other personalities, in other words, whatever the programmers want. If you have raw personality and you begin to program it, basically whatever script, you can teach them to be to be Batman. And, oh, I'm Batman. And teach, you know, you can teach them to be anything. We've had personalities that were taught that they were an animal, that they were a dog. And that when they would come forward, all they do was bark and go around and act like a dog and eat out of a bowl on the floor and whatever else. And that was used in sadistic sexual practices also. All kinds of things. You can come up with 100 other scripts, programs, to create personalities to be, you know, a sub-personality that is, again, whatever the programmer and handler want to use. And you learn, you engage them along the way and talk with them one by one and help them out of that, and that's the healing side. That's the freedom side in Christ. The last thing I want to say is point E on page 11, the Black Awakening, Sleepers and the Troops. The ultimate design behind the creation of chosen ones. The ultimate reason, regardless of what they do in between the time, the lowest part of them, the lowest level, if you think in terms of a cone, and you're like a V-shaped cone, and you're going all the way down in there are the few personalities, the most highly demonized, the most highly programmed, the most highly secretive personalities, that when the Black Awakening activation occurs, they literally forge together, the demons forge together, they become this super soldier, this super enabled, empowered assassin soldier, whatever, and their target, where they're supposed to go, who they're supposed to kill, what building's supposed to blow up, what they're supposed to sabotage, it's all there, waiting like a balloon ready to burst. It's all down in there, and when the activation is given, they just spring into life. They just all of a sudden shift, and they're just on hyper mode. They have the strength of 10 people. They have the abilities of 10 people, and they're out to do nothing but slaughter and kill and create chaos and anarchy, and to create the collapse of Western civilization, and to eliminate targets of resistors, and in the process of that, create the need for those remaining to cry out for a savior, to cry out for someone to help them, thus the coming Antichrist. Questions I want you to think about in this session, this second part, is, again, to really begin to consider being a tracker. Where did they come from? We need to track not just the multiples themselves and help them out and do ministry there. Let's find out who the handlers are. Let's go back and begin to pray and begin to intercede and do warfare. Let's begin to pray over the concept of Nephilim blood. And I'll talk more about that in another session coming up on just the issue of Nephilim blood. Well, hey, this is a lot of stuff to think about, to integrate with where you're at right now, to pray what the Lord's going to do with the information you have. And I just really pray that, and I know that providentially, you're connected and to the course, and that there's God has intent and reason for you. We pray that God will bless you in using the information of the glory of Christ to the salvation, healing, and deliverance of people, and to the crushing of satanic evil and those practices. God bless you, my friend, and our prayers are with you. This is Russ, ShadowTheDarkness.net, from the course Black Awakening.